with Dr. Keith Suter.
Good afternoon, Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. How are you?
Good afternoon, Brent.
Thank you for your time. Let's talk the US election. I see that the population of the United States is around about 330 million. There's 245 of those 330 million eligible to vote. At least 140 million are likely to vote. And already, like we've never seen before, 90 million Americans have cast their vote.
Yes, President Trump has made politics interesting. So we will have a record turnout, be the largest ever on record. People do feel very strongly, and of course from Trump's point of view, this is bad news. Because the general feeling is the more people who come out to vote, it'll be more from the minorities within the United States. And so already attention is beginning to shift away from the actual election, which is on November the 3rd, and to the weeks that will follow. If there is not a clear, overwhelming success by one side or the other, then I think we could see this thing dragging out until January.
You say in your notes you sent me, if there is a clear, overwhelming, undisputable victor on November 4, we can all breathe easier. But it doesn't look like that may be the case, Keith. And as you say, they're lawyering up already.
Exactly. So don't forget, two-thirds of the world's lawyers already live in the United States.
Do
so
they?
Plenty of opportunity for lawyers at the moment in the United States. You've got to bear in mind that Australia has the world's best practice when it comes to electoral systems. We still elect duds in Parliament, but the system by which they get there is world's best practice. The United States has the world's worst practice in terms of the developed Western world. And so decisions are made locally. There's no standard electoral roll, etc. And so you always get arguments over legality of voting, etc. But if you get one side clearly winning rather than the other, then the dispute tends to end there, except for the year 2000. But in our own living memory, and you've got to go all the way back to another 150 years before last time that it was really undecided. And so if you get a clear victory, fine. We can all breathe easier by Friday. But my worry is that it's so close, and Trump is actually catching up with Biden in a number of those key states, that I think that we will see a very close-run thing, in which case, as I say, it'll run on until January.
The secret Trump voters, no one really knows how many people are out there that don't want to admit that they're going to vote for Donald Trump, but come election day, they will, or they have done so already and don't want to admit that they did.
That's right. So there are people that get approached in opinion polls, and they fear that the dominant viewpoint of the pollsters is supporting Joe Biden. Last time, of course, it was Mrs. Clinton. And so they will lie, just simply to say that they will vote for Biden, as they lied when they said they would vote for Clinton. But in the privacy of the election booth, where not even the National Security Agency can spy on you, that's where you vote for Trump. And that's obviously an interesting thing that we're following through, the secret Trump voters.
Now, look, Trump got COVID in October. And he was very quick on the front foot to say he recovered very quickly and they did a wonderful job and here he is. And he was out almost within a week doing more rallies. He wanted to show that he'd recovered very quickly. But in surveys, the most important thing on people's minds in America at the moment is, in fact, COVID.
Yeah.
How do you think that sits?
Yeah. He's handled the COVID crisis very badly. And this may cost him votes. He knew privately just how severe COVID was going to be. And we know that from Bob Woodward, the journalist who interviewed him. And Bob Woodward was not collecting information for a Washington Post article. He was collecting it for a book that is about to come out. And so the president knew right from the outset that this is a very dangerous illness indeed. He then minimized it, because it's part of his positive mental attitude that you always try to play down every crisis. And so he was just counting on the disease disappearing before October, and clearly it hasn't. And so the United States has been very badly affected by the COVID crisis.
Keith, it seems as though once a Trump supporter, always a Trump supporter. I know that we get phone calls here of people that support Donald Trump, and they are almost just one-sided Donald Trump supporters and wouldn't listen to you say anything negative about Donald Trump. surely the people that voted for Trump in 2016 have remained Trump supporters throughout the last 4 years and will vote for him again. It's just a question of, has he picked up more supporters than he had in 2016 of the people that are going to vote this year?
And this is the key issue, because you're right. Trump is a phenomenon. He's going to be talked about by the political scientists for decades to come. So here's somebody who's never voted Republican, who becomes a Republican candidate in 2016, and then reshapes the party so thoroughly that in the year 2020, there's no election platform. It's basically whatever Donald Trump decides that it should be. This is a remarkable force of nature within Donald Trump, completely different from Biden, who, he's a nice, genial person, but doesn't have that same force of personality that Donald Trump has. And you're right, Trump has got this almost cult following. So it's about 40% of the voters support Trump, and they're not going to be moved away from that. He may have lost some of his suburban white women, which has been a problem for him. And you're right, he's not getting over that 50% mark. Normally, presidents who've had 4 years in office, they go up and down as opinion polls vary. You remember George Bush, for example, George Bush Sr. in 1991 with the liberation of Kuwait. His support was so large that the Democrats thought, well, instead of having our own convention, we'll just simply nominate George Bush as well. So they wouldn't have had much of an election in 1992. And it's Bill Clinton who said, well, look, he will run, but not on foreign policy. He would run on domestic policy. And so he was able to beat Bush. So we see how support for Bush was very large in 1990, 1991. But then it comes to November of 92, and Bush loses some of that support. Trump is different. Trump has maintained about 40%, 35%, 40%, and it stayed all the way through. It's almost a cult following. So I find it fascinating because he's someone who's taken over the Republican Party. He's never been a Republican. He's taken over the Republican Party. If he fails in this re-election bid, who will then pick up those Trump votes? Bear in mind that Obama created Trump. Trump will create Biden. And who will then Biden end up creating? Someone who's going to be even more aggressive than Donald Trump was in 4 years' time.
Now, Donald Trump has already sought to discredit the election process. Do you think he's having any success with that?
Oh, a huge amount of success. Because you're running across people in some states who are saying, that you're getting votes from Venezuela now suddenly turning up. Obviously, Venezuela is one of the countries that President Trump is opposed to. So you're getting all sorts of allegations being made, because that will then justify Trump saying, well, we can't rely on the standard election procedure. We've then got to go to these other measures, which will involve what the lawyers could do. Could it perhaps move? By December 8th, you've got to bear in mind that by December 8th, each state has to certify who's won the Electoral College vote in their state. And you can end up with state governments just simply declaring, we will ignore the voters, we will decide who we want to support, which is what we got close to in the year 2000 when it was the Supreme Court that decided to appoint George W. Bush rather than count the remaining something like 187,000 other votes. The Supreme Court just simply stepped in and said, we're going to declare Bush the winner rather than Al Gore. And this, of course, would be the sort of legal maneuvering that Donald Trump would like. And in the year 2000, Roger Stone was the advisor to George W. Bush. This time round, it's Roger Stone who's the advisor to Donald Trump. So it's the Stone who will be creative again with tactics to disrupt the election.
You say that in December, some of the dramas in December of 2020, you say that the risk that the Vice President Pence, now he's the President of the Senate, declares that Donald Trump is re-elected, and while the White House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the Electoral College is unclear, and so she becomes the acting president. Could you expand on that for me?
Yeah, so it all goes back to this December 8th, where you have to certify who has won in your own state. And then those electors then gather in Washington. The problem is that you could end up with the vice president, who's president of the Senate, that's his formal title, that's Mike Pence, who's decided, look, I've counted the votes, And in fact, I'm declaring Donald Trump has been re-elected. Meanwhile, the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who's a Democrat, could say, no, the Electoral College is unclear, and so she becomes acting president until it is clarified. Remember, they need to have a person to swear in on the 12 noon on January the 20th next year. That's laid down in the Constitution. So you've got a lot of manoeuvring that could still go on, including, as I say, also moving it across to the Supreme Court, which helps to explain why we've had all this haste to get Amy Coney Barrett nominated and put onto the Supreme Court, because we assume that she is a pro-Trump judge on that Supreme Court. So if the matter goes to the Supreme Court, the politicians arguing it out, what you could end up with is it goes to the Supreme Court and they will award the election to Trump.
Okay. Goodness me. And this is all if it's very, very, very close. Do you think that Biden will be wanting to challenge as much as Trump?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, Mrs. Clinton has already said to Joe Biden, don't accept defeat. So they've got their own lawyers who are going to be operating as well. So, yes, I think you'll end up with both sides challenging it. And don't forget that both sides have got extremists who are buying weapons in record numbers. We're hearing a lot about the white militants who surrender, who support Trump, and, you know, the Proud Boys, etc. But you've also got black militants who are arming themselves as well. So we could end up with far more violence in the street after Tuesday this week.
Well, I know that there was an article around today saying that shop owners close to Washington are already, Keith, bordering up their windows in case that happens, in case of protests in the streets.
I think that's a very sensible thing to do, because we have no idea how the violence could spin out of control in the next few weeks.
You say that, or you ask the question of wider issues, will young Americans who are voting for the first time become so disillusioned that they drop out of the electoral process for later elections? Do you think it's just got to that stage where they are so disillusioned they don't want to be part of the system?
Well, don't forget, they've only got a marginal commitment to it at the best of times, because voting is seen as an elderly white activity.
Right.
And so they may well give it a go, not be successful, and say, well, we're not going to bother again. And don't forget, my favourite statistic, more Americans used to vote in American Idol than vote in presidential contests.
I've quoted that a couple of times this week, and each time I've given you a credit.
Thank you.
I have. I just think it's a wonderful statistic that more people vote for American Idol than vote for the American president.
Exactly it. And it should just be the way in which so many young people are just not engaged in the process. But at the moment, they are. So who knows what could flow. American politics are always just so interesting.
All right, we'll wait with bated breath. Maybe if you've got a chance, we'll talk to you a little later in the week when we know some form of result, if we know some form of result.
Indeed, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Keith Suter. It's always a delight to chat with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.